T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tackle possibly be in Philadelphia. Vitae, is he available?
No chance at all.
Hang on.
Vitae. Well, there are a couple things here. Let me go to Philly for a second. I thought you were going to talk about Mailata.
No.
Well, here's the problem. Jordan Mailata is the rugby player who has been this phenomenon. Now he's got a back problem. Andre, you're right. If you look at it, Vitae would make sense from the ability because he could play in multiple positions. Vitae was a starting left tackle for Jason Peters in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Now, he's not played as well. He certainly is a guy that would be attractive. He's in the final year of his rookie deal. He could play left tackle, right tackle, or guard. He would be the guy. Now, I'm glad you brought this up. He is the fill-in. He would be the fill-in type guy for Joe Staley. Mailata would not. He's never started an NFL game, and plus he's got a major back – well, not major, but a back issue. He hasn't practiced in weeks. Now, if the Eagles were able to entertain trading Vitae, that would leave him with really the only guy that who's actually played in a game would be Andre Dillard. He played one snap for Jason Peters this past Sunday night, and he played a little bit in week one as an extra tackle. That might be a little bit much for the Eagles to do here in terms of trading Vitae because they don't have another option of anyone who's ever played. And remember, the Eagles think they're a major playoff team despite – 9 players who left the game early against the Falcons.
Adam Kaplan joining us. He's our 95.7 NFL insider. Adam, I was talking to my two co-hosts, or tri-co-hosts, or tri-hosts, or whatever, and they were talking about the Steelers game, and they said, you know, the Niners better be ready, because this is going to be a desperate, desperate Pittsburgh Steelers team. And I said to them, well, unless they see that things are unraveling, like, do you think the Steelers are going to be in desperation mode, or do you think they might be seeing some writing on the wall in that locker room that this might not be their year?
Well, anytime you lose your starting quarterback and one who is a Super Bowl winner like Ben Roethlisberger and almost certainly would be a Hall of Famer someday, it's hard to overcome that. Philly did 2 years ago when Nick Foles filled in incredibly well after almost retiring prior to his signing with the Chiefs. I mean, those things rarely happen. Now, Rudolph, by the way, Mason Rudolph, who will start the rest of the season for Roethlisberger, is a third-round pick last year. I had an offensive coordinator tell me that he had this coach graded Rudolph as a second-round pick. Thought he would probably be ready by year three to start. Now, this is year two. It's a little bit faster, and plus, he's having to learn on the run. This is where the Niners have a distinct advantage. They have a pretty good offensive line that, I think, if we're being honest here, has not played as well as they normally would for whatever reason. This is where the Niners have an advantage. This is a home game. Their front four, we had talked about this on your show before, their front four is really playing well and can certainly get better. And the Steelers have other issues. Dante Moncrief, one of their starting receivers, seemingly can't catch the football. He's dropping everything. He's had some issues. He might be benched, by the way. They haven't made a decision yet. But Mike Tomlin, the head coach, has been very out in front of his disappointment with Moncrief. So they come in with issues. Now, the one problem, though, when we talk about Minkah Fitzpatrick, now you've got a playmaker in their secondary, and the Niners have the issue at left tackle. I'll be very interested to see how the Steelers really run this, Keith Butler, the defensive coordinator, how they come in. You know, they run a 34 front, by the way. How do they pressure that left side? Do they go with overload blitzes? How do they exploit that issue? Because if you had Staley, I think the Niners would win this game no problem. I'm a little bit concerned with not having Staley right now. That to me, folks, is the storyline for the Niners going into this week.
Yeah, Adam, and Jimmy G had a pretty damn good game against the Bengals, and I was telling the fellas here, outside of watching the Chiefs and Andy Reid's play design, Kyle Shanahan had the Bengals off balance all
yeah.
day.
Oh, yeah.
But the play design, Adam, it just looks different. And I know the players are out there, you know, making the plays, but how much credit does he get for dialing those plays up? And they just look pretty.
Yeah, and this was the first time, Guru, that I think their running game was really what they wanted. Breida was terrific. Mostert, how about Raheem Mostert? Yeah. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I remember this kid. when Chip Kelly had him here in Philly, we know he brought him in. And then Jeff Wilson signs off the practice squad. Now, that interception, though, is Garoppolo was efficient, but the interception, you can't have that. Here the good story. I remember talking to Debo Samuel at training camp. That is a good sign because what I liked is when Debo and I were talking, he talked about how he was taking extra time after practice with the receivers, with Garoppolo, and it really showed. In this game, he was terrific. Good to see Marquise Goodwin. We talked last week. They need to bring the big plays back. They did. Mostert's the story here. I am stunned by. And let's talk about Mostert for a second. How about that catch and run? How about that touchdown?
Oh,
just
my
incredible.
Lord. Great.
This is and you mentioned. I'm glad you brought up Kyle. One of my top five play callers of the National Football League. You saw it on display. I don't care where the game is. I don't know that they were practicing at Youngstown last week and playing the Bengals. No matter who you're playing, when you dial it up like that, you're right. I'm glad you brought that up. That was Kyle Shanahan at his best. And now he's going to have a much bigger challenge, though, at home. It gets a 34 front and where you don't have your left tackle. That to me, folks, that to me is where this game is going to be won or lost, whether they can protect.
Yeah, I was looking at the Steelers last night play Seattle, and they do have some holes in that defense, but a desperate team coming into Levi's Stadium and Bud Dupree and them, they could still rush the passer. I do worry about school. But I'm going to talk about the defense for a second, Adam. D. Ford, about the 8-11 mark of the second quarter, his knee kind of buckled there. The Niners are calling it quad and knee irritation. What are you hearing about D. Ford here? Because that's a key call to this pass rush against the Steelers' offensive line. I know you talked about it earlier, but they can protect. When they're at their best, they are one of the better offensive lines in football. What are you hearing about D. Ford?
And let's not forget, in training camp, he had the issue with tendonitis, and this is not good. So we're going to have to keep an eye on this. We'll see if he's able to do anything this week. I will tell you, though, their secondary is playing with much better discipline. They're on the ball better. You saw, and also Quan Alexander. This is the thing about Quan Alexander. Guys, I had teams tell me that they didn't think he'd be ready for the regular season, and not only has he been ready for the regular season, they had to pull him out of practice not to overextend him. He could have practiced in mid-August, taking all the reps they want him to do. This is pretty remarkable that he's been ready. He had a pick last week. They got something out of Blair last week as well. Their secondary is playing with better discipline. This is the kind of defense I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan envisioned they would have. And it's only the beginning. Now, if D. Ford can't play or if he misses time, that's a concern because they're certainly not super deep at defensive end.
Adam, when you think about stadiums around the NFL, you know, Seattle obviously has a reputation for being loud, and Denver has altitude, and there's certainly a ton of places that are really difficult to play. There's a chance that if the 49ers win this game, it'll be their biggest win at Levi Stadium. Like, we all have opinions of Levi Stadium out here in the Bay Area. What's just your first thought of Levi Stadium as someone who's from the East Coast and it's not on your radar day in and day out?
Yeah, in fact, I was at the Eagle-Niner game probably 2014, 2015, one of those times. I remember seeing Damon Bruce there, and I remember we were talking about it. It just was not as loud as you would expect for whatever reason. We know that the shadow thing, they had the shadow thing. It's a big stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. I just don't think it is loud as you would expect other stadiums to be. And you mentioned Seattle. I would say Seattle and Kansas City are the two loudest stadiums I've been in. Now, as you said, though, if they're a really good football team, which we have not seen since stadiums open to a certain degree, they haven't been a good team in years. Now, let's see if they could get it going. And look, the Steelers, I have to tell you, folks, there will be a Steeler crowd there on Sunday. Trust me, the Steeler fans are everywhere, and they travel well. I'll be very interested to see how pro-Niners this crowd's going to be on Sunday.
Yeah, me too, Adam. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. As always, appreciate it, and enjoy your weekend of football coming up.
Guys, thank you.
All right, Adam Kaplan, 95.7 The Game, NFL Insider, brought to you by California Bank of Commerce, the premier business bank. Basically, what he's saying is, I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are practicing right now, blasting music at their training facility, trying to get rid of, trying to get used to the crowd noise.
Wow. All I'm thinking about is not the car, D. Ford. If he's hurt, Bonte, we've been down this road. Then here we go. You lose Staley, D. Ford. You showed me in the green room how the buckle of the knee, per se, that didn't look like something, oh, I'll be right back from. Man, no. That's a big, if he doesn't go, but have we heard anything?
Haven't heard anything.
And I know
anything.
It's Wednesday, but damn, that could be a big loss.
I know the coaching staff is concerned. They're concerned about Joe Staley. And again, you just can't overlook the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. Mason Rudolph is going to try to make a name for himself this Sunday.
If
you don't have Dee Ford, now all of a sudden you may have more time in the pocket behind this really good offensive line. And all of a sudden you get Juju Smith-Schuster and James Washington and Vance McDonald.
They go 0-3. They're finished.
Right. Vance McDonald's back in the building. He's going to want to tell the Niners, like, hey, remember me? You guys traded me after giving me that fat contract. He's going to try to make a name for himself on Sunday. So it's a dangerous game, man. This is a trap game, like you said, on Monday, Steiny. Steelers are going to be desperate. And without Joe Staley, a lot of people are saying just the school may not be ready to go, may not be ready to start in the NFL. This is concerning, man. As the week progresses, I'm starting to get a little more worried about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I realize it's a small sample size, but looking at the defense, I think the one thing the 49ers have going for them, at least through the first two games, is they've had a lot of different players make plays on defense. It's clearly been a team effort, and so far it looks like they've got some depth. So maybe they can get away with not playing Dee Ford this week and then giving him the bye week next week to rest. We'll see. I'm sure we're going to hear something today on the status of Dee Ford. And this from the 831. Steiny, can you tell your producers to keep booking Adam Kaplan? Great interview and great information every time. That guy is awesome. Well, you're in luck. We have Adam Kaplan on every single Wednesday at 11 a.m. So Adam's one of our weekly guests, so mark it down on your calendar, 11 a.m. every Wednesday. We have Adam Kaplan, and we agree. We're big fans, big, big fans. Coming up at 11:45, we have an interview with Carl Yastrzemski. Of course, Yaz last night at Fenway Park watched his grandson hit a home run, making his debut in the park his granddad played in. Unbelievable moment in sports, really. And we're going to have the good fortune of talking to Carl Yastrzemski. That's coming up at 11:45. You don't want to miss it. We're talking also about the 49ers-Steelers game and just how big of a game is it? I get it's one of 16, but I do think there's a little something extra to this guy simply because a win, it not only puts you at 3-0, which is huge, but it puts you at 3-0 heading into the bye week, which means you get an extra week to prepare for Cleveland. You get an extra week to get your guys who are banged up a little more healthy. This could be one of those springboard victories because everybody's saying, well, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, And I guess if the 49ers beat Pittsburgh, they may say, look at the Steelers are 0-3. But I think we know the Steelers are a better team than Tampa Bay or Cincinnati.
And Bonte, I'm going to give you some guru math. If they go 3-0, that's really like 5-0. Then you don't have a game. You're just sitting idle. All the national pundits, the Niners. Peter King's going to look like Yoda for having the premonition of thinking that the Niners could get to the playoffs, so you're sitting pretty. But I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want to be negative. If they lose this game, then they haven't won a game without Joe Staley. Dee Ford doesn't go. Then you start looking at the vase in its entirety like, uh-oh, we got leaks here. It ain't all pretty. It ain't all good. It's a big deal and a big game.
Yeah, it's a huge game. It's a huge game because now the goalposts have changed. I mean, any Niner fan, any Niner fan, remember we talked about it a month ago where I was popping off at the mouth saying, hey, 8-8 is unacceptable. Is 8-8 acceptable now after this 2-0 start? I mean, if they go 3-0, don't come on these airways telling me that 8-8 is acceptable anymore. Because if they're 3-0, then we are going to start talking about the P word.
The wild
the playoffs,
card. Yeah.
The wild card. Yeah. Maybe a division championship. The games, all of a sudden, the stakes raise, man. So, look, man, the way to beat Pittsburgh, Jimmy Garoppolo. I think this is a week, fellas, where Jimmy Garoppolo's going to have to replicate that performance last week. And they're going to have to move the ball and run the ball against this Pittsburgh defense. It's going to be a tough game, man. That Joe Staley injury, I think, we kind of underrated it early in the week, and Guru was on it. Now you're thinking about a left tackle with Justin School, man. 3-4 blitz.
The closer the game gets, worried, man.
But here's the other thing. The 49ers are not going 16-0. They're going to lose games this year. I don't know who they're going to lose to, but they're going to lose some. And I just hate to get into the mentality of they're 2-0. If they lose to the Steelers, oh, my God. No, if you lose to the Steelers, you're 2-1, you get a week off, and you get an extra week to prepare against Cleveland. go out and then beat Cleveland. You're 3-1, and then the Steelers game goes away. At least you put it far in your rearview mirror. But I just think sometimes one loss does not diminish the spirit of a team if they think they've got something going. I'm not saying go ahead and lose the game, but I'm saying sometimes we don't give these guys enough credit for, look, they're gonna play hard against Cleveland no matter what happens against Pittsburgh 2 weeks before.
But if they lose and school looks horrendous,
that's where
and
I'm
he's
at.
Giving up sacks, and then you don't have a pass rush without D. Ford, then I think you're going to have to be concerned going into the bye
team.
Week.
But then
exactly.
I think they'll do something.
Right.
Don't
then you,
you
think they'll make
okay.
a move?
Right.
Make
maybe.
A move for
maybe
Vitae.
They got to see it, and then they'll move with urgency. Well, like think, this could all go down the drain.
Well, doesn't it seem like that's what they're doing?
Because Vitae, as Adam Kaplan mentioned, he can play guard and tackle. We were talking about yesterday if they did trade for Trent Williams. What happens if Staley gets back? Who moves the guard? Where Vitae can move the guard. And that's why that's the type of guy you may want to look at in case Joe Staley does come back here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's very logical if you're the 49ers, you're playing this week without Staley, and then you have the bye week next week. I think you're saying to yourself, let's see what it looks like without Staley. It, especially against a good defense. Yep. If it doesn't look good, we're going to have to use the next 2 weeks to start kicking the tires on guys and maybe even offering more than we wanted to offer a week or two ago. But it seems to me like this is a big week. It's an evaluation week to see what they got without Joe Staley.
And they would get heat from the media, the fans, if this is, you know, an embarrassment or so come Sunday with the O-line's performance. So this is a very big deal, and I got to tell you, you know, I'm talking playoffs 2-0, but Peter King, he's looking like the man right now, and I know it's 2 weeks. Remember, we were like, what did
he say
about that the Niners were going to go to the playoffs? And they haven't done that, but damn, they look physical. Olivia Newton-John, and they're 2-0 with the ability to go 3-0.
See, I don't think you could talk playoffs until the first quarter of the season is over. And look, if they did lose the Pittsburgh game and they beat Cleveland before the season, if you said Steiny and Guru, Niners are going to be 3-1 after the first quarter of the season. Everybody in this room and everybody out there driving, listening to the show would take that. They would take a 3-1 record after the first quarter of the season.
Yeah, but you got me scared of my guy, the DN from
Pittsburgh.
Cleveland. That was
Miles Garrett.
So this situation's got to get rectified fast.
Well, look
fellas.
At Pittsburgh:
fast.
T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree, Cameron Hayward. They got some players, man.
90.
They got some players.
What are you watching today?
That's a good question.
I'm gonna be at the stadium.
That's a good.
I've made the decision.
You know what?
Yeah. You want to go? We'll talk.
Actually,
Steiny kind of wants to go to the game.
Yeah, sure.
He wants to go to the game.
Let's do it.
It's a home opener.
Well, here's the other thing. I'm golfing Saturday morning down in Mountain View at about 7 a.m. So I'll be done at about 11:30, 12, and I'll be down there.
On Sunday?
You want to meet up? Good. You want to meet up?
The game's Sunday.
Yeah, I said, Saturday.
Saturday.
No, Sunday. Yeah Sunday.
Let's meet up.
Maybe we'll do that. Okay.
I'll run it by the wife, and then I get to sure.
Oh, you haven't got
but
the permission to sign
honestly,
yet?
You know what, though,
to get out, Klaus.
I don't like using my credential if I'm not going to be working. You know what I mean?
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
But as long as you're not loud.
Why?
Yeah, I went and watched with Monte and JD.
I
went and got a piece of paper to feed to make it
I want
to
grab
right,
a beer, and that's unprofessional.
No, just tuck it in.
Yeah, you tuck it in.
Tuck it in.
I know how to do it. I'm learning.
Use it to get in. Tuck it in.
You guys are no good.
Oh, man. All day long.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not paying for another game in the Bay Area as long as I'm convinced.
Let's go do it.
You kidding me? Tuck that baby in,
Steiny. And Monday's show would be fire. What did you think of the crowd?
I'll tell you what. I'll think about it.
Guru needs a permission slip yet, though. You noticed that, how he tried to slip that in?
I really don't. That was an out clause.
An appearance, and now he's saying, let me check in on the wife and see if it's okay.
Hey, I can't be walking around tailgating parties with my credential out.
Oh, no, you don't have
down.
It then. Yeah, you don't have it.
Keep
then.
It in my pocket.
Lowe's showed me how to do it. Lowe's
did. Come on.
Yeah, Lowe's tied.
Steiny's trying to act like he's game goofy.
You're
a pro.
We call that brand new in the U.
I'm doing it for show. Hey, don't forget, last call, 145. 145, that's where we turn the conversation over to you. Get your take on the hottest topic of the day. Throughout the month of September, we'll be giving away a Google Home Mini. Take Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on the go. Just say, hey, Google, play 95.7 The Game on your Android or Google Home device. Let's head over to Steve and find out what's going on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Steiny. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Nutrisystem.
for men. The 49ers are back at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers after going 2-0 on the road for the first time since 1989. Now, defensive end Eric Armstead joined Bonte Steine and Guru yesterday to talk about the first home game of the season at Levi's.
Having those fans there, having it loud, having the energy in the stadium, it ignites us as a team. So excited to get out there and, you know, get this home opener started and, you know, see how excited our fans are.
Now, Armstead's teammate, rookie wide receiver for the 49ers, Deebo Samuel, will join Damon Radowinkolsky today at 5. Remember, you can take 95.7 The Game on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. San Francisco Giants outfielder Mike Yastrzemski hit a home run in his Fenway Park debut as the Giants beat the Red Sox 7-6 after a 15-inning battle. The original Yaz, Red Sox legend Carl Yastrzemski, will join the guys next to talk about his grandson's Fenway Park debut. Lose weight eating the food you love. Now save $50. Plus, get a week of protein pack shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. I'm Stephen Langford on the Bay Area's number one sports station. That's 95.7 The Game.
Get down. Now back to Bonte, Steine, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Coming up in 10 minutes, Carl Yastrzemski will be joining us talking about last night, special moment at Fenway Park. Let me just throw some of these numbers at you. Carl Yastrzemski, inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1989, 18-time All-Star, 1967 Triple Crown, 7 Gold Gloves. He won a batting championship in 68. He was the All-Star Game MVP in 1970. So I'm going to have to run those credentials by you again when we get Carl on the phone, but he ain't no joke. One of the big boys. It's Ted Williams in Boston. It's Brady now, Bird, Bobby Orr, Ted Williams. Yaz is right there.
Big Poppy? Is he up
there? Yeah, he probably is.
He threw out the first pitch. A lot of people don't come back what he came back from. Yeah. Shout out to Big Poppy.
Yeah, so really looking forward to getting Carl on. Of course, Mike, his grandson, homered last night in Fenway Park for the Giants. Giants win 7-6 in 15 innings, but that's just a footnote to an incredibly sentimental game and sentimental moment last night. It's only going to get better today. Carl Yastrzemski throwing out the first pitch before today's game to his grandson, Mike. So what a two-day junket for Carl Yastrzemski. And here's the other thing about Yaz. Doesn't do a lot of media. Now, I've heard him described a little bit as a recluse almost. And it is true. You look at some athletes from the past and you kind of think about if they're staying in the limelight. You just don't hear about Carl Yastrzemski self-promoting or anything like that. So can't wait to talk to Carl Yastrzemski, and that's coming up in under 10 minutes. What'd you guys think last night? Be honest. Go.
I told you, I teared up, and I was.
Well, how come you didn't go full? How come you didn't go over? Well, how come that tear didn't come down?
Because of the Bird thing, how the show ended yesterday, so that was bothering me. But other than that, yeah.
It reminded me.
Wow. You teased that and didn't pay it off.
Is that the bone you had to pick with me because of the way I laughed?
No.
Call Bird. Why? Because he looked like a bird?
No, that don't sound as bad.
I almost feel like taking this as my own. Okay. I got to give credit. This is a Whitey Gleason original. So Whitey Gleason texts me.
Okay.
And, you know, we give away the Google Home Minis.
Gotcha. Right?
He's like, tell you what we really need are Guru Home Minis.
What's that?
And that means in the Guru Home Mini, you can ask the Guru Home Mini questions like you did yesterday. Like, let's hear it again. This is the Guru Home Mini. Go.
They call Bird. Why? Because he looked like a bird?
Right. And then Guru Home Mini can say
shout out
Bird
to
was his last name. In other words, the Guru Home Mini is where you go for the obvious. That was Whitey, not me.
Yeah, Whitey's our guy. Bonte, I was coming down your road because, real quick, back to Yaz. You said we predicted the homer, but I actually said it, and text line backed me up.
You know, 707 asked an interesting question.
I didn't want to point that out.
We know that Carl is Mike's grandfather. Who's Mike's dad? Mike's dad passed, And that's why Carl and his grandson are so close.
Yep. And he was watching that. He saw that yesterday, his dad.
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike's father and Carl's son have passed. So, yeah, that's why the relationship is so strong.
And
so strong.
Can I just say this? I was getting back to my selfish point. Bonte, you kind of put yourself in the granddad, in Carl's shoes, like if I was watching my grandkid or my kid. And when there's special moments like that, when you see KD hugging his mom and he's crying, at the, I just put myself in, you know, it's like I put selfishly, I do that and it just hits home more. And that's what I did last night, man. Like, what if this were me? Dude, I would break down.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Steph Curry, even though we don't really think of it like this, but at the All-Star game in Charlotte, when you see him wear the same sweat jacket his dad wore back at the three-point shootout in the early 90s, as Steph Curry is sitting on Dale's lap, and you see the Curry brothers
there
out
there.
Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals, when Steph and Seth were going at it in the second half, and you see Seth hit some big three-pointers in the fourth quarter. I'm just like, man, how cool is this for the parents to see their sons competing at the highest level? And that's, you know, seeing Carl and hearing from, you know, when we hear from Carl, I just want to know if he was excited about seeing Mike out there, and what did it mean to him to see Mike out there, you know, playing the ball off the Green Monster, hitting a home run in the fourth inning, striking out and adjusting later in the game, hitting the double. I mean, I can't even imagine. You guys are parents. I'm not there yet. Yeah. So I can only imagine what Carl feels like seeing his grandson out there at Fenway Park, man. That's special.
Sports is your baby right now.
It is.
Yeah.
I'd probably always
That's
be my
real.
Baby. 415. My baby, my wife, everything.
415 coming down your road a little, Guru. They're saying the Guru Home Mini will backpedal.
Once
you ask it a question from the day before.
No, again, I'm going to get a shirt. I react to new information.
Those are facts.
And each game is, you don't like the shirts?
No.
Why?
Because that was the drop.
You know Guru wants a t-shirt for
sure. He's talking about that.
He wants t-shirts.
Dude. Let me ask you a question.
I've seen him wear every free 95.7 shirt. It grew.
Oh, wow.
Well, hold on a sec. And, you know, we got Carl Yastrzemski coming up in 5 minutes, but I do want to ask you this because you are the swag stealer of swag stealers. You know what I'm saying?
That hurts.
Now, if there's swag laying around, you're going to have to elbow Guru
merch
to get to it.
You know what Steiny said the other day in the kitchen? There's those pink shirts out there.
Did you take one?
No.
I bet you Guru would take one.
Exactly.
I was like, yeah, you probably would.
I don't do Steiny. I did look at him a couple times.
You grabbed it and looked at it.
I looked at it. Now, Guru's, I'll tell you what, Guru's, I'd say Mount Rushmore of guys who can accumulate swag.
Oh, this guy wears pink shirts.
Cavaliers
shirts.
Where's Cleveland?
Sacramento. Lakers. Sacramento. Cowboys.
Where's the Cowboys?
He's got the Warriors gear. Pittsburgh Pirates.
He's got the Durant Warriors flannel.
It looks like
thing.
A Mariners jersey, though. I don't know what the hell that
is.
I do like that.
That was Raider Dave, right?
I'm not sure exactly who it was, but.
The fact that I went on air guessing.
Yeah. It was.
Ain't going to get me far.
Yeah, I've got a lot of different swag.
I'm sorry,
but that was a great conversation. My phone was blowing up, and I got excited. Yeah. You knew what I meant by Bird, but it was nickname, and then I just went to my childhood, and Bird looked like a bird. But
they call Bird Bird why? Because he looked
like
a bird.
Too fast for you. Yeah. You know how they say, Bonte, when rookie quarterback gets into the NFL, game's too fast for him. I think yesterday the game just got too fast for
But it was coming from a good place. We were having a great – it was nickname.
I know. Yeah. Let's hear it one more time just so the fans
They call Bird Bird why? Because he looked like a bird?
I just love the dead silence afterward. It was like dead silence for about five seconds. I was like, wait, where's
he
going?
Did that?
What?
The funny thing is yeah.
A lot of people didn't hear it, though.
We're going to make sure a lot of people hear it from now on.
Yeah, no.
They call Bird Bird why? Because he looked like a bird?
Oh, man, this is good from the 408. The Guru Home Mini will be like Wikipedia. The facts will change at the drop of a hat. That's cold,
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
This is so much fun, though. You know that,
too. No, I deserve it.
Although, on a serious, don't make a shirt that says that.
No, I wouldn't.
You know what?
Can't do it.
I'd rather you make a shirt that says, let's get lost.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, let's get lost. I can get behind a
lot. I got a lot of love on that one.
My girl said that sounds like a line that could work.
Oh, man.
I
Man. It's work.
Hey, don't miss Last Call every weekday at 1:45 when we turn the conversation over to you and get your take on the hottest topic of the day. Throughout the month of September, Best Call of the Day wins a Google Home Mini on us. Take Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on the go. Just say, hey, Google, play 95.7 The Game on your Android or Google Home device. Today's Last Call question at 1:45, what's the best sports movie ever made?
Wow.
All right. Do we have Carl on the dial pad guest line?
All right, joining us right now, he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1989. He's played in 18 All-Star games, the 1967 Triple Crown winner, 7 Gold Gloves, All-Star Game MVP in 1970. Carl Yastrzemski, thank you so much for joining us. And I have to ask you, of all the great moments you've had at Fenway, where did last night rank?
That ranked on top. I was very, very nervous going in. I'm always nervous watching him play, even though I watch on TV. But he had to be under a tremendous amount of pressure. He did a lot of interviews yesterday. And I think he showed great mental concentration when he struck out his first time up after getting a nice hand, being introduced. Then he walked the next time up and then hit the home run. Showed me a lot. Like I said, he had to have tremendous mental concentration.
Well, kind of vintage you, Carl, talking about Mike. What did it mean? What did it mean to you? I mean, how proud were you to see Mike, not only in Fenway Park, but then succeeding in Fenway Park? You just beaming?
Yes, I was. Like I said, him hitting that home run was a huge thrill for me. As much as any thrill that I had in baseball myself. Then he almost had a second one off the left-hand pitcher in, I don't know, about the 11th, 12th inning or whatever it was. If he had pulled it just a few more feet, it would have been another home run. So he was swinging the bat well and under a lot of pressure.
Well, did you also see he pulled a Yaz? He held a Red Sox to a single, playing a ball off the Green Monster.
Yes, he asked me about it before when we were doing some interviews. I said, just take some balls from batting practice off the wall, and you'll figure it out quick.
Hey, Carl, we had the fortune of talking to you about 4 or 5 months ago when Mike was just getting his chance. And I want you to just listen to something you said, and then I want to revisit it with you. Here it is.
Hey, Carl, what do you think about this guy's chances for sticking around? And even though he got there a little late, he makes something happen the rest of his career. What's he got to do?
I think the big thing is just go keep going like he is. Like I said, for me, the first couple of months, 2.5 months, was the toughest in my career. And then you kind of settle in, and you're looking forward to doing a great job for the team.
Has Mike settled in kind of like you thought, Carl?
I think so. I think, like I said earlier, the first couple months are the toughest because you really don't know whether you belong there or not. That always went through my mind every day that I played. So I think he settled in. He's swinging the bat. The only thing is I hope he didn't hurt his foot coming out of the batter's box. The spikes finally got caught on him coming out.
Carl Yastrzemski here on 95.7 The Game. Carl, I want to revisit the pregame when you did see Mike for the first time at Fenway Park and walking over there to the Green Monster. What was that like when you started giving him tips on how to play the Green Monster? That had to be a joy for you.
Yes, it was, but like I told him, the best thing to do, I can't tell you how to play it, was to take balls off the wall from batting practice, not have somebody hit a fungal to you and stuff like that, because it's not the same. So apparently you did it.
Hey, Carl, Mike's almost 29 years old. Did you ever have to encourage him to stay with it? Or were there times when you even thought, you know what, I don't know if Mike's going to make it to the big leagues?
No, I never really told him to keep playing. He wanted to keep playing himself. I think the best thing that happened to him was being traded to the Giants organization. I know I talked to him in spring training last year when he was still with the Orioles. I talked to his hitting coach with him. And the only thing I told him, I said, you know, stay aggressive, be aggressive. The next day he hit a home run, and that night the Orioles traded him to Sacramento, the Giants organization. I think that's the best thing that ever happened to him, because about 4 or 5 days after he was with the Giants, he called me, he says he loves it, he loves the organization, and I think that was a big factor for him. It gave him new life.
He was drafted by the Boston Red Sox, your team. Do you think that almost was a little bit of unfair pressure for him?
No, not really, because he already had made up his mind to go to Vanderbilt. He had promised his father that he would get a college education before that he would try the major league, trying to make the major leagues. So I know that his father had a lot of influence on him.
Carl, I was thinking about you last night when it came with the 15 innings, and I know you don't like to stick around to the games because you don't want to put added pressure onto Mike. Tonight, are you going to try to stick around for a few innings to watch Mike out there?
I'm going to throw out the first pitch, and he's going to catch it. I hope I can get it up to the plate.
And then you're out of there? You're not going to stick around to watch him take any live ABs?
Well, I'm going to go up and watch and see what happens. But like I said, I'm a very superstitious person, and I just hate to add pressure to him or whatever already he has on him.
Can I ask you why you're superstitious? I'm a young buck, man, so I've read a lot about you. I didn't get to watch you play, but why are you so superstitious?
I've always been that way. I know, like, the outside socks that I wore. I had a big, huge hole in them, and I must have worn my entire career. I never changed those socks.
Hey, Carl, let me ask you this. We asked you about some of your great moments. I got to ask you about some of the tough moments. What were some of your toughest moments at Fenway Park?
My toughest?
Yeah.
I think my first couple years replacing Ted Williams. I was under a lot of pressure. I tried to beat Ted Williams, and when I first came up, I only weighed 170 pounds, and I was more of a center field, left field hitter, hitting the ball the opposite way. I think the most home runs I had in the minor leagues, 11 or 12, something like that. But once I got over that and I started to be myself instead of trying to be Ted Williams, who probably was the greatest hitter that ever lived, nothing ever bothered me again.
Carl, is there any series that you would want back, like the series against the Red Sox or the Cardinals, or is there any game you would want to play over and be like, man, I wish I had this one back?
Oh, jeez.
Sorry to put you on the spot there.
I think two things, if I were to think about my career, would be the two World Series games. The one in 67, when we lost Tony Conigliaro in August when he got beaned.
Yeah.
He was an outstanding player coming into his own at that time. He always could hit, but he became an all-around player as far as defense, stealing bases, running the bases well. And then in 75, when we lost Jim Rice, when he got his hand hit by a pitch and he broke his hand, and he couldn't play in the World Series in 75 against Cincinnati. And now if you think with Rice out of the lineup, the kind of year he had, what about if Cincinnati didn't have Bench or Rose or Perez or something like that? It's a big blow to your team.
Hey, Carl, I want to ask you about the late 60s when the mound was lowered. Was there a discernible difference? I mean, because if you look at the numbers, I mean, it's incredible how little power there was and little average. I mean, did you know things had changed that year?
You know, with the change in the mound, with it being lowered, the game became a little different. Up until the time that the mound was lowered, everybody was a power pitcher. Everybody threw hard breaking balls, stuff like that. And then when the mound was lowered, all of a sudden they threw sinkers, worked you differently, breaking balls, stuff like that. So there was adjustment on both sides.
Hey, Carl, Mike hit his home run to center field last night, maybe the deepest part of the park. I'm trying to remember, you were mostly, you hit most of your home runs to right field. How many times do you think you went over the Green Monster? I mean, I remember you hitting it off the Green Monster. How often did you go over the Monster as a lefty?
Sometimes I did. When I first came up, I hit some balls to left field over the Monster. Then when I became more of a pull hitter, most of my home runs went to center field or right field. But some ones still I hit to left field when I was a little late on pitches and hitting the well.
Carl, you hit a career-high 44 home runs in 1967. You see all the home runs flying out in today's baseball game, and everybody's blaming the juice ball. What do you think? What would you hit in today's game when you're seeing all these home runs flying around here?
Well, whether the ball is juiced or not, you still have to hit it.
True.
You know, that's the big part of the game. It's hitting the baseball and getting it airborne. I don't know if it's juiced or not. Some people say it is. Some people say it isn't. So, like I said, you still have to hit the ball, and you have to hit it well in order to get it out of the park, especially in San Francisco.
Yep. No doubt. What do you think about the style of today's game? A lot of people complain about it because it's home run, strikeout, and you have these openers and starting pitchers aren't going deep into games. What do you think about today's game? What's your opinion on it?
Well, I think the starting pitchers have changed because they went to that pitch count. I can remember like Keon in the 75 World Series. He must have thrown 150 pitches. And Dale Johnson came to take him out of the game in the last in the ninth inning, and he wouldn't give him the ball. He said, "No, I put the man on base. I'll get out of it," and he did. So there wasn't a pitch count at that time, up until they came up with the pitch count. So guys threw a lot of pitches. I don't know whether it was good for them or whether the pitch count helps pitchers' arms or whatever, but. There wasn't any pitch count.
Hey, Carl, I love looking at your stats. In 1970, you stole 23 bases. I don't remember you as fleet of foot. Did you have – were all those – you were given signs to steal, or were you able to run on your own?
Mostly given signs. And I'll tell you, stealing bases, not easy. That year when I was stealing some bases the infielders would jump on you, try to spike you coming down and stuff like that. So you take a guy like Murray Wills and Lou Brock and that. I don't know how those guys did it.
Hey, Carl, today you're going to throw out the first pitch to your grandson. Can you handle any more emotion after last night?
No, I don't think so, but I'll try to get it up to the plate.
All right. Hey, Carl, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy today. You deserve it.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks, Carl.
Right. Bye-bye.
All right, Carl Yastrzemski taking us right up to the break. We got a lot to unpack there, and we'll do it next segment brought by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
To Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, special thank you to Carl Yastrzemski for joining us. About 15 minutes. He's been quite busy the last 2 days, as you guys could probably imagine, but I guess I'm going to be honest. It's one of the highlights of my career right there. You know it, baby. Interviewing Carl Yastrzemski.
And he sounds like a legend.
He's
got that John Wayne voice.
Yeah,
no, Bonte.
That's got to be up there. So that's up there with when I interview Bird. I had Bird on a one-on-one once.
Where?
Larry Bird.
They call Bird. Why? Because he looked like a bird?
You know what? Here's the problem. A lot of people say, Steiner, you bring up Larry Bird every possible moment. You think I did then? I'm going to do it because that'll be a way to get.
They call Bird. Why? Because he looked like a bird?
Was he coaching then?
Yeah, he was coaching the Pacers. Yeah.
So you were at the facility?
No, I was in Indiana.
At their location.
Yeah, they're at Conseco Fieldhouse at the time. Yeah, so I'm trying to think who would be number three.
Barkley for me.
Steph.
Oh, Barkley
couple times for me.
Oh, dude, Steph. I would have that as my ringtone. The compliment he gave, he probably don't remember it.
What?
Remember Barkley gave Bonte that compliment?
No, but Bonte will remind us.
Guru will. I don't. I just said I like talking to Barkley.
Yeah, no.
I like talking to Barkley. He gave me a nice compliment. He said... And I don't think it was accurate because a lot of people have asked some great questions, but he told me, that's the best question I've ever been asked, young man.
Well, what was it?
It's something about why is basketball all – we talk about basketball, but we talk about everything off the court.
Yeah,
you know, we talk about everything off the court, not the game itself. When can we just get back to talking about the game? And he complimented me on that. That was a great day because I also got to interview Snoop that day, so – 2-1
on TV.
2-1 special. It was a great night
on TV.
It was like, who cares if the Warriors lost Game 4 in the finals?
See that?
We talk about Snoop and Charles.
Well, you know what? I think
little Zito.
I think the days of not talking about guys off the field are over. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I don't think that's ever going to go away now.
Yeah, it's done. With social media and everything and people unfollowing teams and players on Instagram.
That's how you know they're upset now, huh?
People want everything outside of the game. And then when we get to the actual game, it's like people are bored. They're like, they're reading body language. Oh, look at KD. He didn't dap up. So it's stupid, man. It's just stupid.
Yeah, it's
that's where we're at.
I think there's a fine line there between – what happens off the floor and whether it impacts what's happening on the floor or whether it's just something that what I'm saying is, you know, if Steph Curry's out the night before a game, it's like, you don't know. He's just having dinner or something like that.
But if
Michael Jordan's
with other
going
players.
To Las Vegas in the middle of the finals.
Right.
Well, he's still
Mike would have
up.
Been in trouble had they had Instagram.
You know what? I think you might be right there.
I believe, and nothing wrong with it. Mike was probably up at 3, 4 in the morning gambling before a playoff game. Yeah,
you're probably right.
When you're Mike, you could do what you want.
You're probably right.
It's your world. We're just living in it.
You know what, though? That is funny when you think about it. Michael Jordan, well, he could burn the candle at both ends, and he still won titles, so he's the man.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley. He gets criticized for it.
He does.
Because he doesn't have 6 titles.
Wow. Yep.
But, I mean, he was one of the greats of all time, obviously. So, anyway, Carl Yastrzemski, wow. Wow. Thank you so much for him joining us. All right. Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area, he's reporting that the 49ers don't have any interest in the Jaguars' Jalen Ramsey. And we talked a lot about this yesterday. Some people were on board with making a run at him. Others are saying sit tight. But the more I think about it, guys, maybe it was unrealistic that we even thought the 49ers would go after Ramsey. And here's why. The defensive backfield was an area that we all thought needed to be upgraded in the offseason. And by and large, they didn't do much. They believed in Sherman and Weatherspoon. So now they go out. They don't make any moves in the offseason, essentially. Now they come out and the defensive backfield plays 2 really good games.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.